when he reveals something to us in terms of our shortcomings, he's doing it out of love. Not just to be punitive, but God loves us and he's pushing for us and he wants the best for us. So he wants us to be honest with him. He wants us to be honest with him because he'll always be honest with us. Will we be honest with God and stop bringing in things that compromises our righteous walk? I wanted us to take a look at the book of Genesis. And we find one of our first incidents of dishonesty. And it's important because if we forget what happened in this passage, we can be the ones repeating the same offense. And the thing about being disingenuous with God is the consequences oftentimes are residual, meaning that they last a very long time. The consequences of being out of line with God because of our lack of truthfulness can follow us for a very long time. Even though God has forgiven us, the consequences, it's the law of consequence, still has to be dealt with. So let's look at the Bible. In Genesis 2 and 9, we find this passage. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We are presented with these two trees. The tree of life, which is located in the midst of the garden, in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is highlighted here. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is also in the midst of the garden. The tree of life is in the midst of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is also in the middle of the garden. Genesis 2 and 9. Now look at the regulations for how Adam is supposed to deal with these two trees, rather with all trees that God has created. God gives instructions, specific instructions, on what Brother Adam is supposed to do with these trees. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Okay, Genesis 2:16. God says, every tree of the garden, verse 16, you can eat freely. However, there is a conjunction. There's the conjunction. It doesn't stop there in verse 16. Look at verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Verse 17. Verse 16. All the trees you can eat from, and if that was it, then we're good. But verse 17 goes with verse 16. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, stay away from it. You can have all of these other trees, but this one tree, don't eat from it. That's the instructions. And as we look at chapter 3, something happens between chapter 2 and chapter 3. God creates woman out of the rib from man. Adam has a helpmeet, and her name is Eve. So Eve is now on the scene between chapters 2 and chapter 3. And God's instructions are still the same. Number one, God established a covenant with a man. Then that covenant was communicated to Eve once she was created. So they both are fully aware of what God says in verse 17, Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at it again. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's consequences for disobedience. Consequences for dishonesty. And we all know the story. Let's look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And by the way, I'm reading from the King James Version. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? The devil already knows what God said. But now he's testing the spiritual integrity of Eve. He's tempting her. And that's what the devil does. The devil doesn't care if you've been in church all day Sunday. Devil doesn't care if you've been in Bible study all afternoon. The devil doesn't care if you are active in ministry. The devil doesn't care if you have a big bank account. The devil doesn't care if you have a title in front of your name. The devil does not care if you're married or single. The devil doesn't care who you know. The devil's job is to lure you away from the promises of God. Amen. The devil wants to come between you and the relationship you have with the Almighty. So the devil would do whatever he has to do to get in between you and God, to cause you to wind up being further away from God than you endeavor to be. That's what he does. And the devil is not coming at you in a red suit with a pitchfork with horns. The devil is not coming that way. That's too obvious. The devil is subtle. That's what Genesis 3 and 1 says. He is subtle. He's crafty. He's cunning. It said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. So he doesn't come at you in an overt way. He comes at you in a covert way. What does that mean? That means that person, possibly that person that you are in a relationship with. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed, but God didn't call that person to you. And the devil will use that situation to draw you closer, draw you further away from God. Could be the job that you got for yourself. God didn't place you at that job, but you wanted that job because of the salary, and God didn't place you there. God has another job for you. So the devil has a way of blessing too. It's a misnomer, but the devil knows how to please our carnal appetites. But the thing about Satan is Satan's offerings are insatiable, meaning that Satan appeals to the flesh, and the flesh is never satisfied. So he offers us things. He offers us things that's not permanent. He offers us things that's not righteous. He offers us things that's not long-lasting. It feels good, but the consequences are more than we are able to pay. So he's impugning God's character. He asks Eve, did God really say that? And that's what happens to some of us. We know the word. We've heard the sermons. We've read the Bible. But people come in our lives, and they start working on us to the point where we start to doubt God. As a single person, you may be saying to yourself, should I move in with this person, or should I keep to myself and keep growing in the Lord, and whoever God sends me is going to respect my position of not having premarital relations before I get married? Or am I going to keep listening to this voice saying that, oh, he or she loves me and there's nothing wrong with sleeping around before we get married? Am I going to stick with what God has told me, or am I going to start listening to snake talk? That's what I call the scenario, snake talk. And there's a lot of snake talkers out there. People who tells us what the flesh wants to hear, and we start giving heed to these people. And as a result, we start thinking God is okay with our compromise, and that God still sees us as righteous, and God still sees us our actions as acceptable. And God is telling us this afternoon, cut it out. Reject dishonesty. Cut it out. There's a difference between virtue and foolishness. There's a difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And God is not splitting hairs. God has already given to us what righteousness looks like. So let's continue this garden story. So the devil asks Eve, "Hath God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" Verse 3 and 1. And the devil already knows. See, the devil knows God's word, but he twists it. It's the same thing when Jesus was being tempted. This is why Jesus responds back to Satan, "It is written that thou should not live by bread alone. It is written thou should not tempt the Lord thy God." So every time Satan will pose a temptation to him, Jesus responds by, "It is written." So if we're going to get through this pandemic, if we're going to reject dishonesty the way that God wants us to reject it, then we got to know the word. Because the word is our bond. God's word is our covenant. God's word is our contract. We said, "Lord, we're going to allow you to lead our lives. We're going to allow you to reign our hearts. Lord, we're giving our affections over to you. Lord, we're giving our minds over to you. So, Lord, have your way with my life." And we form a contract with him. We're saying that Jesus calls the shots. It's not that we call a shot and then give it to God to bless it. That's not how it works. A lot of people over the years that I've talked to, they go out and do what they want to do. Then they want God to bless it. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We can't go out and do what we want to do without first consulting God. Remember what I've said. The scripture tells us that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will give us the desires of our heart. It's not, "I'm going to give to God what I want, and then he's going to give it to me." God is not a cosmic bell hopper. God doesn't just hop when we want him to do something. God moves at his own time. God is God all by himself. He's sovereign. God is not coming to us to ask us what we want for our lives. God already has a plan for our lives. When I first bought my car, you know what I found in the glove compartment? I found a car manual. And that car manual tells me how to treat that car. They didn't ask me what type of oil I need to put in the car. They didn't ask me how fast do I want this car to go. When I bought my car, it was already done. The creator of the car had a manual that I needed to follow if I want that car to run the way that it needs to run, the way it was created to run. In the same way, this is the manual. This is the manual, and the creator already has in the manual what we need for successful living. The creator already has in the manual what we ought to do for righteous conduct. The creator has in the manual what we need to have peace in our homes. The creator already has in the manual what relationships should look like. The creator already has in this manual what a marriage should look like, what singleness should look like, what parenting should look like, what being obedient to your parents should look like, what financing should look like. The creator already has in the manual what a man should look like, what a woman should be, should look like. And contrary to popular opinion, God has a say-so in everything that we do. The world has an alternative view of what the manual is saying. And this is where the challenge comes in. This is what the spiritual battle is all about. The devil is using what God wants to use for righteousness, and he's using it for unrighteousness. So the media and the world and our politicians, they're giving us alternate views. But we can't listen to these to the snake talk. Snake talk will keep us further away from the will of God. Snake talk will not offer hope, but will lead us into despair. Snake talk is what we have now. Look all around us. All of the chaos. Look all around us, all of the dysfunction. Our politicians can't help us. They can't even help themselves. Some of our religious leaders can't help us because they're teaching and preaching the wrong gospel. So who do we turn to? We turn back to the Creator. We turn back to His Son, Jesus Christ. This is what we live on. This is our testimony. This is our instructions on how to live, not the dishonest view that the devil is trying to throw at us and those who serve him. Amen. There are people in our lives, they may look like Denzel Washington or even Halle Berry, but inwardly, they're not saved. Inwardly, they're not good for us. Inwardly, if they don't accept Jesus Christ, we will never see them again on the other side. But we're allowing these people to have influences in our lives, and we have to reject it. We have to reject it. We're not animals. We are made in the image of God. What animals do is animals are instinctive. Animals, if you ever watched the videos on the Wild Kingdom, animals react and act based on their instincts. But we're more than that. We have a mind. We have a mind. We are human beings. We're not animalistic. And as children of God, we're all tempted. And we at times tested. But we don't just act because it makes me feel good. We don't just act without first filtering through our minds. We're not animals. God created us a different being. And if you got the can't help it, that's what Jesus died for. Jesus died so he can help you with your anger. Jesus died so he can help you with your sexuality. Jesus died so he can help you with your marriage. Jesus died so he can help you live an abundant life, even as an unmarried person. Jesus died for all of that. Jesus died for the lonely. He died for the widow. Jesus died for all of us, for the person who can't find a job to the person who got 10 jobs. Jesus died for you. So he's calling on us to reject dishonesty. When people have told you all your life that you wouldn't amount to nothing, Jesus painted a different picture. They gave to you a dishonest picture of who you are. God is giving you the truthful picture of not just who you are or where you are, but what you can become. God tells us, yes, you are flawed in all of these areas, but my son died for you to take you to where you need to be. I'll never give up on you. So why are you giving up on yourself? This is a reminder that we ought to reject dishonesty. Many of our African-American males are going through the educational system, and a lot of teachers have given up on them just based on their color, their gender, and their residence. A lot of teachers have given up on them, but let me say this, God has not given up on them. A lot of our black men couldn't find jobs because people had given up on them. But God hasn't given up on them. We can do more than just rap. We can do more than play basketball. We can do more than play football. We can do more than run track. God says it doesn't matter what color you are. God says it doesn't matter what gender you are. When God places something in our lives and when God gives us the gifts to explore it, we need to do so regardless of these restrictions. So we take what the world says. We compare it to what God says, and if what the world is doing is consistent with what God is saying, then we can say, praise the Lord. But if we find that what the world is proposing is contrary to the will of God, then we have to reject it. We have to reject it. I'm rejecting the world's arguments until I sift it through the Word of God. Because all that glitters is not gold. And people mean well, but when people lean on their own understanding, sometimes what they're telling us is not truthful. I can't take what you say purely based on good intentions. I have to filter it by the Word of God. So Satan questions God's motives. By asking that question, you see where he's going. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, which is true. Everybody said true. Genesis 3 and 2. God did say, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, Genesis 3, 2. That's what God said in Genesis 2, 16. He told him that. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. That's what God said. So that part is true, Sister Eve. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Genesis 3 and 3. Actually, Eve didn't quote the whole thing. She's missing something very important. It's interesting that the devil actually corrects Eve. Eve says, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die, Genesis 3 and 3. But that's not what God said. God says, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not lest ye die, thou shalt surely die. That's emphatic. And the serpent said unto the woman, you should not surely die. See, the devil knew the word. And he actually got the quote right. So it's not an issue of Satan not knowing God's word. Satan knows God's word, but he wills to not follow God's word. And then that's important. It's not enough to know God's word. The Bible tells us that even the devil believes or acknowledges God's word, but doesn't follow God's word. So just because you may be able to quote scriptures, just because you know all the traditional things to do in church, just because you know God's word by reading it front and back, doesn't necessarily mean that you are in good standings with God. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're following God's word. Just because you know God's word doesn't necessarily mean that you're following God's word. So he's speaking to all of us. God wants us to check ourselves. Where are we? Are we living a life full of dishonesty? And the only way you're going to know is if you genuinely compare your walk to the word of God. I can't tell you. I can't give it to you. Your friends can't give it to you. Your mother and father can't give it to you. But God can give it to you. God can tell you if you're on the right track. God can reveal to you if you're on the right track. God can show you if you're walking in righteousness. If you have a thirst for righteousness, God can reveal that to you. For God, this is what the serpent is saying. For God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you should be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what Satan was doing was basically telling Eve, God is holding something back from you. He don't want your eyes to be open. He doesn't have your best interests at heart. God is holding out on you. There's more that God doesn't want you to have that's going to benefit you. And it hasn't changed. The devil is still using people to engage in snake talk in our lives. How many times have you heard people say, the Bible is not enough? There are lost books of the Bible that the church doesn't want people to know. How many times have you heard people attack not just the Bible, but attack the reality of God? How many times? So it's important that we know God's word, because the devil won't leave you alone. The devil is going to keep tempting you. He's going to keep coming at you with people close to you, people you would have never thought would betray you, and they don't have your best interests at heart. They may sound eloquent. They may sound like they're your friends. They may sound like they love you, but trust me, anyone that tells you things that's contrary to the will of God is not your true friend, not according to God's criteria. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Don't have time to get into Adam's role in this whole thing, but my point is this. We learn about the Adam and Eve narrative, and we saw the consequences. Here we are in 2021, and we're still dealing with the consequences of the fall. And some things we do in life, if we're not careful, will follow us to the next generation. So we have to reject dishonesty. Reject dishonesty. Don't put up with dishonesty in your life, in your own life, in your own relationship, in your own environment outside of the home. Don't become friends with dishonesty. Dishonesty produces more drama. Dishonesty produces uncertainty, chaos. Our relationship with God has to be based on honesty. What do I mean by that? I mean, we have to be honest. We have to be honest. Scripture asks us, can a brook be bitter and sweet? And the answer is no. No. A brook or a body of water is either sweet or bitter, not both. So what am I saying? I'm saying if we are children of God, then we have to be like the God that we're following. Our God says he's the God of truth. Jesus says he is the truth. So those that follow him have to be truthful. And when we're truthful, it liberates us. We're able to go to God in good conscience and say, Lord, here's the problem I have. Lord, this is how I messed up. Lord, this is what I did, and I'm sorry for it. Lord, This is what's going on, and this is my part in it. And God will tell you the truth. God is not going to hold back from you. But when God tells us the truth, he's doing it out of pure love. Even deeper than our parents, even deeper than our closest friends. When God tells us the truth, it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. The devil distorted God's words, and then he attacked God's integrity. The fool will say to himself or herself that God does not exist, Psalms 14:1. They deny the reality and the efficacy of the Creator. So as a result, they find other means to fill the void. Listen to this. Many foolish individuals believe the following, that God created the world but has left us to run the show. God created the world but has left us to run the show. Those are the first two blanks in number one. That God created the world but have left us to run the show. That's this whole concept of deism, D-E-I-S-M. And what the deist will say is that, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe that the Creator created everything that I see. Yes, I believe that God was behind us getting here. But what I believe is that God has retreated himself for eternity, and now he's left human beings to run their lives. And some of our founding fathers in the United States believed in this deistic view. But you know what? It is wrong. Reject dishonesty. God is still involved. They're right that God created the universe, God created the world, but God is still involved. This is the main reason why Jesus came. God is still involved in the affairs of human beings. God is still involved in my life. So if you want to believe that, that's on you, but that's not the truth. We got to reject dishonesty. This is what some of our youth are being taught in the classroom, that we're left to run our own show, that we run our own lives. Do you. That's the new expression now. Do you. Well, that's the problem we have, is everybody has competing philosophies of what life is all about. Everybody has competing philosophies of what manhood is about, what womanhood is about, what being a parent is about. Everybody have all of these philosophies, but we have a transcendent referee. I'm gonna keep saying that. We have a transcendent referee. That's God. God is the main arbitrator that counts. God is the one that decides what's right. He's the one that decides what's wrong. So I'd rather put my trust, my ideologies in the hands of God, because he is always truthful. Man is always changing. One day we believe this, another day we believe something different. Man is always under change, but God is never under change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Foolish people say science is the source of right and wrong. There are those who believe something can only be true if it can be verified through science. It's called scientism. Many of our politicians believe in scientism. This is why when it's time to vote, they always throw science at us. Well, according to these statistics, it says this, that, and the other, so we have to believe it, even if it contradicts our Christian values. We can't allow scientism to overtake our passions, our intellect, and our common sense. Scientism is flawed. Science can't answer everything, and there is no contradiction between science and God. God created science, but if we look at science, we have to look at it from a creative worldview. We have to look at it from a biblical worldview. Many, many great scientists in the past, Isaac Newton as an example, believed in God. There's no contradiction, but what the world is telling us is, you guys that are of faith, you ladies that are of faith, you men that are of faith, you know nothing about science, and we can't trust you because you believe in a God that can't be seen. That argument, or those arguments, is because the devil has deceived them. And they can't really deal with it in an appropriate way because they don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in the supernatural. So when we talk about things of faith like prayer, when we talk about angels, when we talk about soul, they stare at us as if we're strange, as if we're aliens, because they don't believe in the metaphysical. But we that are Christians, we have to reject this dishonest argument that God doesn't exist. We have to reject this dishonesty that everything is resolved because of science. Science is not a person. Science, our laws, our rules are based on our perception of nature. The interpretation of science is what we're talking about. And that's determined based on your worldview, whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Look at the bottom. God can always be trusted. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let God be true, but every man a liar. If anybody's going to lie, we know it's not God. It's man. So you can always trust this manual. You can always trust this manual. Reject dishonesty. Reject when somebody is feeding you things that's blatantly contradictory to the Word of God. Doesn't matter if it's your children, doesn't matter if it's your parents. If somebody is giving you dishonest information, they may not even mean to be giving it out, but if they're giving it to you, we have to reject it. We have to reject it. I realize it's about 12:55 almost, and we're going to wrap up our Bible study at this present time. I have some information to give all of our members, so just remember, wherever dishonesty is found, we have to reject it, because we want to continue our covenant with God. We want us to have we want all of you should want a closer relationship with God himself. He deserves it, and we are the beneficiaries of a truthful walk. So it's very important that we first know what the truth is, so when falsehood raises its head, we can reject it. Amen. Amen. Please hold on for a few minutes as I share some very important information as it relates to our church. The first thing I want to announce is Bible study is fast approaching for Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, and we want all of you as a family unit to take a class. We have classes for our boys, manhood development. We always hear parents come to us about the challenges they're having with our boys when they become teenagers. Well, it starts when they are little boys. We want you to register online. You're watching us online now, but go on our website and register our boys, ages 5 to 12. And we want to fill these classes up. Some of them are already back in school, but let's not wait until it's too late for us to put in them the foundation, the biblical foundations they need to succeed. Same thing with our girls, ages 5 to 12, alert. They're registering, and we want you to do your part and sign them up. Make sure that you sign them up. Some of you are already back and doing extracurricular things, but sign them up. There's nothing more important than our children's biblical education. So please sign them up. We have classes for our adults, faith and friction, boundaries, belief and balance, for our young adults, rather. And these classes go from September 7th through November 17th. So young adults, please sign up. How spiritual gifts can unleash the power of everybody. That's taught by Brother Lamont Harris. And you'll be blessed if you sign up for these courses as well it's an extension of the doctrine of ministry class, dealing with your spiritual gifts and how you can become involved. Then we have a mental health class called You Are Not Alone. There's many people dealing with depression, many people dealing with suicidal thoughts, or you have somebody in your life that may be dealing with it. We encourage you to sign up or have them sign up as well. Registration deadline is fast approaching, so please take advantage of these courses. Then we have Kingdom Men Rising for our men. Again, men, we want you to be a part of Bible study. And we talked about rejecting dishonesty. And the only way you'll know if something is dishonest, not the blatant ones, but there are things that that's coming at you. And instead of leaning on your own understanding, man, we want you to sign up for these classes so you can get a better understanding of some of the things you already know about. Same thing for our ladies, September 8th through November 17th. We have a women's class, Kingdom Women, Part 1 and Part 2. Part 1 is open to everyone. Part 2 is for those that took the first class. Please sign up from the spring. Now, again, it's open. The first class is open to everyone, so please take advantage of it. These Bible study classes will enrich and bless you. Now, my second announcement, and this is for everybody. It's very important, so please listen to this announcement. It says, important update regarding our in-person church reopening, which was scheduled for this Sunday. And if you remember, I always use the words endeavor. We will endeavor to open on Sunday, September 5th. So endeavoring means we were trying to open on September the 5th. So due to the rise in people contracting the COVID-19 Delta variant, primarily among the unvaccinated, we as a church are concerned about our congregation's health and safety. We were highly anticipating resuming our in-person worshiping. After much prayer and consultation with our church staff, church leadership, and county health officials, we decided to postpone our reopening, which was scheduled for this Sunday, until we make another announcement. We will continue to offer our online virtual services via our website, our YouTube and Facebook Live. For those, and please listen to this, for those who would like to experience an in-person worship, we have some sister churches that we want to share with you. If you're interested in being in live worship, and we realize some people have expressed to us a yearning to be in the midst with other believers during worship. We're not saying go join these churches. We're not saying that. But we're saying if you feel a yearning to be in a church atmosphere live with other believers, then you can, of course, visit our sister churches who are offering in-person services at this time, such as City Church, Center of Praise, Midtown Church, and Showers of Blessings, if you are open to or interested in actually being in person in worship services. And again, we're not saying join these churches. We're going to reopen ourselves, but some have expressed a dire need to be with other saints in person. But if not, continue to join us online, continue to call us, continue to talk to those in your inner circles that are Christians. And if you have any questions, you can contact your deacons or you can contact the church office. Again, don't let this announcement be used by Satan to cause strife in your spiritual walk. The devil will do that. But I know that you all know better and you all are solid in your faith. So we love everyone. We are praying for the day where this whole thing will pass and we'll be able to do ministry better than when we first got into this. I'm confident that God will take us through regardless of what the enemy throws at us. Again, reject dishonesty, be rooted in righteousness, and be rooted in your faith. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for today's message. We thank you, Lord, for all of these saints. Be with them. Order their steps. We love you. We love the church that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.